Hello, friends. Welcome to or welcome back to the Digital Diary Podcast. I am your host, Hannah Elise. I feel like I have not sat down and recorded in forever, and it really hasn't been that long. It was just before my trip, but it's been a couple weeks. I'm really excited to be back. I did not post an episode last week, so I do apologize. The reasoning for that is because, as you might have seen if you follow the podcast, Digital Diary Pod on Instagram, I posted a little update there. I was in Europe, specifically Italy, last week, and that's why I didn't have a new episode. I was planning on recording one, an extra one, like for this past week before I left, but I ended up having just so much to kind of sort out before my trip that I just did what I could, and the rest, you know, it's okay. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to be easier on myself because I tend to catastrophize. What is the word? I just looked it up and I was right with catastrophize. I tend to do that when I end up like not having something to post on a day that I'm supposed to be posting, because obviously that is my entire job and all that I do. So I really get upset when I don't have something ready for so many different reasons, but I was just trying to let myself be on vacation and let myself enjoy this trip. I've talked about this trip on this podcast before. I talked about just the fact that it was happening and how it was my first time ever going to Europe in general. So I don't know. I was trying to not like stress out too much and just enjoy it. I really struggle with that, but I'll get into that. I'm getting ahead of myself. In today's episode, I wanted to fully recap the trip, my entire Europe trip. We went to Paris and a few places in Italy. We stayed in Naples, went to Capri for a day, and we stayed in Positano. So I want to give y'all the lowdown, the complete lowdown on the trip, give y'all the basics of it, like who I went with, how we found things, how much do things cost, and then a full breakdown of what we did, itinerary type of thing, but like very loose and not, I don't know. I'm going to try not to make this episode 100 hours long. And I'm also going to try to do the timestamp thing in the show notes. I know that's possible on podcasts. You can do it on YouTube videos, like when each section starts. So I'm going to try and section this by like the topic. So if you want to skip to a certain part, I'm going to try to put those in the show notes. Hopefully when you are seeing this on your whatever thing you're listening to it on, you see them, but if not, I'm sorry. So yeah, we're gonna do itinerary type, what we did, taking you through pretty much the entire trip, and then I'm gonna end with some things that I learned, some takeaways that I had from the trip. This trip truly tested me in a lot of ways, mentally and physically. This is the first time I've ever taken a trip of this magnitude. It was a really big deal for me, and I feel like I learned a lot about traveling, and I also learned a lot about myself, and I learned a lot about being with other people and traveling with other people and just working through all of that. I really feel like I learned a lot, and it was so beneficial to me in so many ways, this trip. It was also obviously a lot of fun. It was amazing to just be in Europe. I don't even know when, if at any point, I fully took in the fact that I was in Europe. I was in France and I was in Italy. I don't know if I actually conceptualized those things even when I was on the trip, because I feel like I remember, even though I just got back a few days ago, and I'll explain that too, I feel like I remember looking around and trying to consciously understand, like make myself understand that I was in Italy, and that was something that I had dreamed about for my entire life, just being in Italy, and I was there. But I struggle with that. I struggle with being where my feet are and really truly grasping and fully understanding what I'm doing and where I am in the current moment. I'll look back and be like, holy fuck, I was in Italy. But when I'm there, I felt like I was trying really hard to understand that I was there. And I don't even know if I was even doing that. And it's not even just with this trip. I'm like that with so many things. I remember the first time I saw Harry Styles in concert. Funny example, but I remember looking at him and really trying to like focus in on him and telling myself in my head, like, that's Harry Styles. Like, I'm at a Harry Styles concert right now. And I still felt like he was a hologram. Like, I still felt like there was no way that I was there. Is there a term for this, for doing this? I don't know if this, I don't want to just throw terms out that aren't correct. But if there's a term for this, let me know, because it's really annoying. Like, I just have so many issues trying to soak in where I am in a current moment. My mind's always wandering somewhere else. And as hard as I try to like shut it up, it's still really difficult. But I was really trying to do that on this trip and just like understand that like what I'm looking at. I'm like, I'm looking at the Eiffel Tower right now. This is the Eiffel Tower in front of me. I am here. I am in Paris, France right now. Same with everywhere else I was. I'm in Capri right now, like looking around. This is Italy. But I don't know if my brain comprehended it. And I don't know why that is. As I'm sitting down and recording this right now, it has been a few days since I got back. I'm recording this on Saturday, and we got back, I think it was Tuesday night. But originally, we weren't supposed to get back until yesterday, Friday night. Our original flight was booked. The reason that we came home early is because our train to Colmar, France from, so we were in Italy. We were supposed to go from Italy back to Paris for a night and then take the train from Paris to Colmar to spend a couple of days there. Colmar is like close to the border of France and Germany, and it's just a really cool little town we wanted to explore. And that was supposed to be the last leg of our trip. And then we were supposed to take the train back to Paris and then fly from Paris to New York. But our train to Colmar from Paris got canceled because of the protests in Paris. And I do want to talk about that really briefly, as obviously someone, I'm an American, so I don't fully grasp and know the complete ins and outs of it. But just from what I've read and what I've seen, the president of France essentially passed a bill recently that raised the retirement age from 62 to 64, and he passed this bill without the vote of the French people, which is fucked up. They essentially just bypassed the people's vote, therefore taking away their voice. So yeah, that's fucked up, obviously, and I completely understand why they are upset and why they're protesting and striking. We booked this trip in December. We were getting, well, some of the people in the group were getting comments like, why are you in Paris right now when there are riots and protests going on? Like, why are you having fun there when they're they're rioting and protesting? We booked this trip in December, so we did not know that this was going to happen, obviously. And we had already paid for the trip, so we were just keeping an eye out on the situation, obviously making ourselves, we were aware of it the entire time. We were following when things were happening and where. Safety was just our top priority. We wanted to be safe and just try to enjoy our time because we were going there anyway, and we wanted to be able to enjoy the city. Paris is a beautiful city and it has so much to offer and so much to explore. So we just wanted to make sure that we were going to be safe. So we were aware of it the entire time, but our train to Colmar was canceled because of the protests. So we decided, well, three of us, there were five of us total, three of us decided to go home early. One of us were already going home early because they had to come back to work. So two more of us decided to join them, and we all went home on Tuesday. So I've been home for a few days. I have been trying to get my life together. Let's discuss really quick what I'm drinking today, because I love doing this. I am very happy to say that this is my drink today because I was missing her so much when I was away. I made my at-home iced coffee, my absolute favorite thing, my favorite part of the morning. It's literally what gets me out of bed, is making myself a latte. It's the little things that I just really enjoy and it makes me happy. So I made my favorite at-home iced coffee. I have been doing almond milk recently, but I switched back to oat milk because I really wanted to, and it's just like creamier and tastes better in my lattes, whatever. I made an oat milk latte, iced, of course, with a little bit of hazelnut creamer and cinnamon. And it's so good. It's so good. I miss her so much. Another thing that I don't think I knew about Europe is that they aren't really big iced coffee people. Most places only have hot coffee, and iced coffee is more of a new thing that only some places have. So, I mean, but there are Starbucks over there. So I did, in fact, go to Starbucks a couple of times in Paris. But I did drink regular coffee, too, like at places we went. So it's okay. I had both. All right. Now that I'm done blabbing on, let's get into the topics that I have outlined for this episode. I really went in yesterday and planned out what I wanted to talk about. Like I said, I wrote my outline. I did some math. I'm trying to have as much good, like valuable information in this episode as possible. If anyone is going on a trip to any of these places or they want to, I just want to give y'all my experience, my thoughts, and ending off with my takeaways. So let's begin with just some of like the basics of the trip. First of all, who I went with and how the trip kind of came about. So I went with four of my friends. There were five of us total. They were friends that I've made in New York. I met all of them last year, so I've known them for about a year. Anna, Autumn, Marguerite, and Landon, and myself. How the trip came about is that it was originally supposed to be a couples trip with two of the people in our group and then another person and their boyfriend, but the other person and their boyfriend broke up, so it was no longer, the trip was no longer happening with couples. And then they invited the rest of us, the girls, to come instead, and we were like, fuck yeah. I have wanted to go to Europe my entire life. I jumped on it because I knew this was something I really wanted, and I knew it would be a lot of fun. That's essentially how the trip came about. We talked about it. I don't even actually remember the timeline between when the idea was proposed and like when we actually planned things, but I know there's always a joke about trips being planned in the group chat and like never leaving the group chat. And eventually the trip left the group chat because we booked our flights in December, at the end of December. The trip was set for March. Throughout the last 3 months before the trip, we were booking, and when I say we, I mean Autumn. She booked everything. She planned pretty much most, like 99% of the trip. I was really fine with anything. I didn't really care what we did, except for I wanted to do the touristy stuff in Paris because I had never been there. So I wanted to see the Eiffel Tower. I wanted to go to the Louvre. I really wanted to see the Mona Lisa, but we didn't have time to do that on the trip. So I guess I'll have to go back. But I wanted to see touristy stuff and like the big cool landmarks there. And then my only things I wanted to do in Italy were eat pasta and eat calamari. That's it. So I really went into this personally with the idea that I wanted to go with the flow, and I decided to essentially relinquish any control or trying to make everything perfect that I usually do, and I just let myself breathe and let myself just go with the flow, which is really difficult for me to do. Relinquishing control in any situation I struggle with because my anxiety makes me feel like I need to have control over everything that's happening at all times. And if I don't, then I get anxiety because I feel like things are happening to me and I'm not, like, things are spiraling out of control. I'm very type A. I'm very like, I need to do everything in order to make sure that it's perfect. I was like that in school. In group projects, I would really take the reins and I would take the initiative to do everything, and people would kind of, not everybody, but you know, you guys know, group projects in school, some people would be like, oh, you're going to do everything? Cool. I won't do shit. And I ended up picking up all of the work, which was not fun, but in my mind, it was always like, if I don't do it, it's not going to be done right. But I knew that Autumn would do it right. She's been to Europe before. She studied abroad in Paris. She knew it better than I did. So I trusted her judgment and her plan, and I just went with it. That's really that, at least on my end. Next, I wanted to talk a little bit about some costs. I didn't add up every single thing, like all the little things that we did, But the main things, the flights and the Airbnbs, I wanted to tell you all the costs of. So our flight round trip from New York JFK to Paris CDG was $744 US. From talking to other people, I'm grasping that this is a good price for a round trip flight from New York to Paris. I thought it was a good price. I've paid this to go to California round trip. So to be able to go to Paris at this price, I feel like was a good price. I don't know. A couple reasons I feel like we got a good price in my mind is we booked, as I said, in December. So we were doing it, I mean, at least a little bit in advance. The farther you book out, the better the price is going to be. But also the more time there is for something to happen to like fuck up the timing of your trip. So I feel like we did it with, you know, 3.5 months in advance was kind of a good time because it was close enough that we could really plan, but not far enough that like too many things could happen in between. We did have things happen in between, but nothing that caused us to like not completely not be able to go, which is good. I feel like we did it at a good time. And then we also booked for March because we saw that March was one of the cheaper times to go over there. Obviously, there are some months of the year that are crazy busy, some that are a little bit quieter. The winter and like early spring months are, from what I'm understanding and what I saw, a bit quieter. And then the summer is like really, really, really busy and expensive to fly over there. So I actually looked on this app called Hopper. This is not sponsored. I was sponsored by them before, which is why I know about this app, but it's actually very helpful. You can put in where you're flying from, where you're flying to, and you can look at essentially a calendar of what times are the most expensive to go, like what days even. And it shows you each of the days and it's either green, yellow, or red. Green days are the cheapest to go. Red days are the most expensive. So I looked at that calendar and sent it to the group and I'm like, okay, this is what it's looking like. And our flight ended up being $744 round trip. We flew Air France, which was really nice. Then when we were in Europe, we flew from Paris to Naples and back, and we flew EasyJet for that one. That ended up being about $200 US. I had to pay extra when we were flying from Paris to Italy because I didn't realize all the things that I couldn't have in a carry-on bag on EasyJet because it is different than what you can have on like bigger airlines. It's my own fault. I should have looked that up before, but I thought that I could just carry my bag on, which you paid for, but it was cheaper than checking a bag. And then I got there and I had already paid for the carry-on, but I was told I had to actually check the bag. So then I had to pay for a checked bag in addition to what I already paid for. So it ended up bumping up the cost, obviously. So it was about $200 total round trip at that point. I don't know if that's good or bad, but that's what that was. And then as far as where we stayed, our Airbnbs, we stayed in 4 different Airbnbs. We had 6 booked, but the ones for Colmar and the last night in Paris after we got back from Colmar before we flew out the next day were canceled because our train was canceled. So we nixed those 4 total. We stayed in Paris for 3 nights, Naples for 2 nights, Positano for 4 nights, and then Paris again for 1 night before we flew out the next day. So 10 nights total in those different Airbnbs. It was about $875 US per person, about $87.50 per person per night to stay in some of the honestly most beautiful Airbnbs I've ever seen. Our Paris Airbnb was so insanely stunning and beautiful and perfect. Our Positano one, oh no, like it was gorgeous. It was beautiful. It was perfect. It was stunning. So really amazing places for $87.50 average per person per night, I feel like was pretty good. I mean, if we stayed in hotels, it would have been way more than that. Now I want to get into what we did. All right, day one, March 19th. This was our travel day. Our travel day started at 10 p.m. ish the day before, March 18th, because our flight that we took from JFK to CDG. It was a red eye. We got to the airport, which honestly I think might have been the only option. Also definitely the cheapest option, because who wants to take a red eye? But the flight was completely full, so I guess a lot of people did. The flight was honestly fine. I had no complaints. We left New York at around 1 a.m. and we got to Paris at about 1 p.m. I think their time, taking into account the flight was like 7-ish hours maybe, and the 5-hour time change. I slept most of the flight. I'm really freaking happy that I did. I didn't even eat dinner on the flight. They brought that around at like 3 a.m. and woke all of us up to like put our seats up, but I just went right back to bed. I took a melatonin and I was out. So I slept for, I want to say probably a solid five hours. So I was happy about that. That's definitely why I had any energy at all to like rally once we got off the plane and actually go out and start to explore Paris. So we went from the airport, Ubered to our Airbnb, checked in. Literally one of the most beautiful places I've ever stayed. I loved this Airbnb. It was stunning. I might put the link, if I can, in the show notes for the different Airbnbs if anyone's interested. And if you're going to any of these places, this place was so beautiful and I just loved everything about it. It felt so homey and cozy. And then we headed out into Paris and we started walking around. We really just kind of moseyed around. We stopped at this one place and we got crepes. And oh my God, I am still thinking about the crepe that I had. I got one with Nutella and strawberries. Oh, bitch, it was so good. No, inhaled this crepe. It was insane. Then we went back to the Airbnb and I took the hardest nap. Probably the top two hardest naps of my life on the floor of the Airbnb. The hard ass floor. I was knocked the fuck out. I was exhausted. My body, like, it just all caught up to me that I had just flown literally to another continent, the 5-hour time change, rallied to go out on my 5 hours of sleep and all the other weird jet lag stuff, and I knocked for an hour. I swear, if no one woke me up, I would have woken up the next morning. I think I fell asleep at like 6 p.m., slept for about an hour, but I would have slept until the next day for sure. I was a rock. But my friends woke me up, and I'm glad that they did, because we were going to get dinner at Bouillon Chartier. I'm sorry if I'm butchering any of these pronunciations, but that is the restaurant we went to. And this restaurant is known for being like really, 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 really inexpensive and affordable. So we went there and we met up with Autumn's friend Izzy. And Izzy is just, oh, I'm so happy I went, because Izzy is an absolute angel and such a sweet girl. She is British. She lives in Paris though. She's lived there for the past few years. She's fluent in French. She was just so fun to listen to. She loves Taylor Swift too. So I made a friend at dinner and I'm really glad that I got my ass up off of the floor and woke up and went to dinner. This place was honestly so good. I tried escargot for the first time, which is snail. Never had that. Pesto, garlic, whatever, and all the little snail shells. It was so good. It was so good. We also got wine. And I'm not kidding you, my little bottle of wine that I got was €6 for a freaking bottle. And it was actually so good. And then I got what I believe to be a traditional French dish. I don't want to say, oh, I got a traditional French dish and then it not be that, because what the fuck do I know? So I think it is. If it's not, I'm sorry, but I think it is. And it was really freaking good. Let me remind myself of the name of it really quick. Okay, so it's called Beef Bourguignon. It was insane. So good. It says, it's a French beef stew braised in red wine, often red, burgundy, and beef stock, typically flavored with carrots, onions, garlic. So good. I'm so happy I got it. Flavor out of this world. And it was so affordable. And I just enjoyed the whole experience. Just hanging out with everyone and chatting and laughing on our first night in Paris was just an amazing welcome to Paris. And it made me so happy. So after that, we just went back to the Airbnb, got cleaned up, and went to sleep. And then day two, March 20th. I know that the dates don't mean anything to y'all, but it's like helping me in my brain to remember the order of things. Day two in Paris, we woke up and we went to get breakfast. I highly freaking recommend this place. It was called Republic of Coffee. I got a yogurt granola bowl and it was, I think, honestly the best yogurt granola bowl I've ever had. There was, I mean, yogurt granola, and there was a bunch of fruit on top, and it was just so freaking good. I loved it. We also got charcoal lattes, and this was at the recommendation of Autumn because she had been to this place before. I honestly am not even sure that there was coffee in this. I think there was supposed to be, but it tasted just like straight up cereal milk in the best way. It was like a treat. And it was gray. Like, the drink was gray because there is charcoal in it. But it tasted like straight up cereal milk. And it was so good. And it was iced too, which is a win. That place was so good. If you're in Paris, I highly recommend you go there for breakfast or brunch. It's such a cute spot. And everyone was so nice there. And the food was amazing. The drinks were amazing. 10 out of 10. After breakfast, we took the metro to the original Chanel store. And I made a purchase. Guys, okay, I've never bought anything from Chanel before. I'm not that bougie. But when in Paris, I decided, why not? The OG Chanel store. Also, working in my favor here is that I failed to bring a single pair of sunglasses to Europe in general. I didn't pack a single pair. So I needed a pair. And we were at the Chanel store and I was just looking at them for funsies. And I found a pair that I absolutely loved. They were just like the perfect versatile classic sunglasses. And they had a little like heart on the side with the Chanel logo, but it wasn't very big. Like, I didn't want something that just had like Chanel or like the big logos plastered on the side, just because I don't know. That's not really my vibe. I didn't want it to be like screaming at you. I wanted it to be kind of subtle, but classy and versatile. And you know what I mean? So I found just the perfect pair of sunglasses, and I wore them every day for the rest of the trip. First of all, because I loved them and to get my money's worth, and second of all, because I didn't have another pair. But I'm really happy that I got them. I don't know, it was just a cool experience, just knowing that where I bought them was the original Chanel store in Paris, where Coco Chanel started the brand. And it's just iconic, and it was awesome. And I was in freaking Paris for the first time ever, and I wanted to treat myself. That was the most expensive thing that I bought in Europe. Obviously, I was like, okay, that's it for me. I'm good now. All right, so after this, we went to lunch at this restaurant called Mama Primi. I think that this is like a sister restaurant of another one called, I believe it's called Pink Mama. It's very popular and good, but there were no reservations. We like couldn't get a reservation there because it's so popular. So we went for the sister restaurant, Mama Primi. I got a margarita pizza there and it was unreal good. Unfucking real. I'm a big margarita pizza girl now. I liked it before, but when we got pizza on this trip, that's the only type I got because I just was like, this is actually the shit. I got it there and it was unfreaking real. I don't even know what else to say. It was just so good. After lunch, we walked around Montmartre. We popped into some little stores, which was so much fun. I just love doing that. I love walking around a place, exploring with kind of no aim. We were walking towards the Sacré-Cœur, and we just stopped at places along the way. I bought a pair of loafers at a store called Jonac. I was on the lookout for a good pair of black, just plain loafers with a little bit of a platform that just go with absolutely everything. I have a pair of loafers right now, but they have like a big gold thing on the front, so I can't wear them obviously with like, well, I guess I could if I didn't give a fuck, but I just didn't want to wear them with silver jewelry and silver accents. I would only wear them with gold, and I wanted a pair that was just plain and that I could have for a while, good quality, that go with everything. So I found that pair of loafers at this store and fell in love with them immediately. So happy that I got them. They're perfect, like versatile, gorgeous, stunning, beautiful. And the woman who was working at the store was just so freaking kind. We loved her so much, like just so smiley and bubbly and friendly. 10 out of 10 recommend going there if you're in Paris. We stopped at a few more stores. I bought a cute little ring. I don't remember the name of the store that I got the ring at, but it was all like handmade in France. Oh, and then I got one of my favorite souvenirs of the trip at another little store. It was a mug and it said bonjour connasse on it. Look that up. You can look that up. But it was so me. I learned the word connasse when I was with Izzy Queen. She taught me. And I saw this mug the next day and I was like, oh my God, I have to have it. I have to have it. So I bought it. And it's, I love it. I think it's hilarious. We then walked up to the Sacré-Cœur, which is the Basilica of the Sacred Heart of Paris. It's just a really cool monument in Paris. So we walked up there, saw that, and then we went to dinner at Refuge des Fondues. I think someone saw this place on TikTok, and it's commonly known as the Baby Bottle Wine Place. So, I mean, our drinks were baby bottles filled with wine, which was hilarious and fun, and I thought that was cool, and I ended up buying the baby bottle after dinner, because you could do that. You could either return it, which is like, I hope they put new like caps on them, because that's kind of gross if they don't. But I bought mine just for a fun little souvenir, and I thought it was cool. But we went there for dinner, and it was a fondue place, so we got cheese, and we got like a broth or something to cook meat in. And I don't think our burners were working correctly, because the people next to us, like, their stuff was cooking normal and it looked normal, but I really don't think either of our burners for the cheese or the one that was cooking the meat were working properly, because the meat was taking forever to cook and the cheese was not cheesing like it was for the people around us. So the food itself, in my opinion and from my experience, were mid, but the experience overall was fun. I think if our burners were working, and we even had them like come over and check them and like fix them, but then it still, we didn't think it was working. But the experience was fun. The food was like, you know, but it was still like a fun thing to do. And then after this, we went and saw the Eiffel Tower for the first time ever, which was so freaking cool and so surreal. We were so close to it, like just looking up at it. I felt like my little self when I went to New York for the first time, and I like just came out of the bus or whatever it was that I took, and I just looked up at everything because everything was so tall. That's kind of how I felt when I was looking up the Eiffel Tower. Like, this is so iconic and so big, and it's right in front of my eyeballs, which is crazy. That was just such a surreal and cool moment. We watched it sparkle. Thank God we got there when we did. It sparkles at the top of every hour for 5 minutes. So we got there literally right before it started sparkling. We got to watch it sparkle. It was just so cool. All right, day three. God, I need to hurry this up. We had brunch at this place called Bon Bouquet. I got another yogurt granola bowl because I was still on a high from the one I had at Republic of Coffee the day before. But the one at this place wasn't as good. I don't know. I think I was just comparing it to the one I had before that was so good. The place was really cute, though. They had iced coffee. So if you're listening to this and you're an American and you want to go to Paris and have iced coffee, this place had it. They had a bunch of different kinds, too, which was cool. The place was really cute. So, yeah, we ate there. We walked over to the Palais Royal and the gardens. It was beautiful. Just gorgeous. Then we walked over to the Louvre. We just saw the outside of the Louvre, which even just that was really cool and like awesome to see in real life, because I've always seen pictures of it from everyone, and just being there was really cool. I wanted to go in, as I said, and I wanted to see the Mona Lisa, but we didn't end up having time. So we just kind of walked around the area, saw the outside. There's like the gardens and this huge area of greenery across from the Louvre. So we walked to that. We met up with a friend and we ended up walking with her across the river to the Sixth, which is such a gorgeous area. And I'm honestly so happy that we met up with this friend, because we probably wouldn't have gone over there if we weren't with her. She was like, we should go over there, and we just followed her. And it was so beautiful. The area was, I don't know, it was just so perfect. And it was so quiet. I feel like you could hear a pin drop. Everything was beautiful. I loved that area so much. The day itself was also just so nice. It was sunny at that point and good temperature. I don't know. The whole thing was just really nice. This afternoon was one of my favorite times of the entire trip. it was just so wholesome. It made me so happy. We ended up going to a little bakery, the Smith's Bakery, and I got an amazing butter croissant. It was my first croissant that I got in Paris. Oh my gosh, it was so good. We went in, we ordered our things, and we sat outside, which was so nice. Just like hearing the sounds of the area and hearing other people talking and hearing bike bells and birds, and oh my god, it was just so picturesque. Like, if you picture such like a beautiful and calming street and such good vibes, like that's exactly what it was. So all of us sat outside and we ate. We also got a sandwich. We got wine in the middle of the day, which was fun. We got other pastries to try, a lot of pistachio ones. We got a lot of pistachio things in general over in Europe, and I'm very happy that they like pistachio as much as I do, because they have a lot of pistachio stuff over there. And so we got like a pistachio loaf type of thing. We got a pistachio tart. Oh my god, they were so good. It was just such a nice time. And just sitting with everyone outside on the streets of Paris, and on one of the most gorgeous streets I've ever seen, I've ever been on, so quaint and perfect, and just having really good conversation with these people just made me so freaking happy, and it filled my cup up so much. After this, we walked over to a vintage store. It was called the Kilo Shop, which was really cool. I didn't get anything because they were closing. Like, we went in like 10 minutes before they were closing, but the place was really cool, and you like weigh your things and you pay by depending on how many kilos it weighs. Then we set out and walked over to dinner. We walked past the Notre Dame, which was also another very surreal thing to just kind of casually pass by. I was like, are we really here right now? Is there like, is this a green screen? It was just crazy to me. Like, such an iconic thing. And I'm just walking past it on the way to dinner. It's kind of how I feel about living in New York too. I'm like, okay, here's the Empire State Building. I'm just casually walking past it, not even thinking about it. So weird. We went to dinner at this place called All View Paris. Very interesting experience, I will say that. Our waiter was like an opera singer, and he also had like this funny like fake American accent that he would do, because obviously we're all American, so he would just say everything in a really exaggerated American accent and also like sing a lot. It was kind of a fever dream, I'm not gonna lie. But we went down also, oh, this was also a fever dream. We went down and they had like a wine cellar, but it was giving very claustrophobic vibes. We picked out the wines we wanted. It was definitely an experience. I will say that. It was an experience. And then after this, we went to McDonald's because of course we did. We wanted to see what was on the menu at a McDonald's in France for fun. We ended up getting McFlurries with Biscoff cookies in them, which were so good. So good. I just got fries because I was in the mood for fries. They honestly tasted the same as the ones we have here. So I don't know. I probably should have gotten something more French, like something we don't have, but I just really wanted fries. But the Biscoff McFlurry was really freaking good. And that was it. That was it for day three. A lot of things we covered on day three, but it was such a freaking fun day. Next, we're moving into the Italy part of the trip. This day was, again, a travel day. March 22nd, we went back to CDG, the airport. We got on our EasyJet flight to Naples. The flight was like 2 hours. We saw the most beautiful sunset on the way there, like on the flight. It was amazing. We checked into our Airbnb in Naples, which was so beautiful. Like, the Airbnb was gorgeous. The floor, the tile, I know this is very specific, but the tile in that place looked like it was a rug. It had patterns, but it was just tile. It was beautiful. There was so much natural light, so many windows. That place was, yeah, it was very nice. We ended up going to dinner at this place called Taverna Luciana. I can't even recommend it enough. Everything we had was so good. Obviously, I mean, we're in Italy. This was my first freaking meal in Italy. I had been dreaming about this moment. I didn't get pasta yet. I wanted to wait until we went to Positano to get pasta, but I got pizza again. I got margherita pizza because Naples is actually the place that pizza was born. Like, pizza was invented in Naples. So what did I get at dinner? I got a pizza and an Aperol spritz, and it was insane. Oh, we also got an appetizer of like a caprese appetizer, but they have like a buffalo mozzarella cheese over there. Do we have that here? Bitch, I don't know. I don't really know much about cheese, but this cheese, they had it everywhere in Italy, and it was so freaking good. The caprese with that cheese and balsamic, we really got that as an appetizer pretty much everywhere and ate it up every single time. So we got that. Everything was to die for. It was a really cute local place, which is exactly what I wanted. Like, I wanted a local, authentic Italian restaurant experience place, and it was exactly that. It's exactly what I needed. Everything was so good. So, great start to Italy. Day two in Italy, March 23rd, we took a ferry to Capri for the day, which this was one of my favorite days of the trip. I loved it so much. We took the ferry from the port of Naples to Capri. I don't remember exactly how much the round trip tickets were. Maybe like 20 or 30 euros round trip. It was so worth it though, because Capri was legitimately one of the most beautiful places I have ever been. Even when the boat was coming up to the island and we were docking and getting off, I just remember stepping out of the boat and looking around, and it was just the most beautiful place. And also, it was a beautiful day. It was so sunny. The weather was perfect. It was just the absolute most perfect day. I'm so happy we went. We got lunch at a place called Al Capri. The view was just insane. The view was really the selling point for me. We just missed the brunch menu, so we were like ordering lunch, but we kind of wanted brunch food, but they obviously, we were late. Then after that, we really just walked around. We meandered around. We explored. I got a chocolate gelato, which was one of the greatest things I think I've ever eaten in my life. Definitely the best gelato I've ever had. It was from a place called how do I say this? After consulting Google Translate, it's pronounced Bunocore. 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 It was just insane gelato. Like the chocolate in the little like waffle cone. Oh my God, it was so good. Then we walked to the Gardens of Augustus. I think it was like €1.50 each to get in, but the view from that place was unreal. I actually felt like I was in a movie. It was so beautiful. I cannot recommend going there enough. You have to if you're in Capri for €1.50. Oh my gosh, the view was just so gorgeous. After this was about dinner time, and our ferry back to Naples was at like, I think, 8. So we stopped at a place for a Capri spritz, because as we all know, I love an Aperol spritz. So of course I had to try the specific one to Capri, the Capri spritz. We went to this place called Il Piccolo, and it was definitely like a massive tourist trap place. It was really expensive, but we literally only got Capri spritzes there, and it was so good. And I actually, like, I only had one, but I was feeling good after that one Capri spritz. So I'm glad we went there, because it was honestly so good. And then we ended up getting on the ferry back to Naples, and I had quite an interesting experience actually on the ferry back. So, mini story time of a creepy man. So we were getting on the ferry. This man who was working on the ferry, like, looked at me and called me pretty. And I was like, oh, thank you. Love that so much. Great. Didn't think anything of it. We walked up to the seats. We sat down. And then it was probably like 30 or so minutes later, I see this man again. And he is up, like, where we are. I don't know if he was looking specifically for us, but he ends up at the end of the row of the seats that I'm sitting in, and he's talking to me, but through his phone on Google Translate. And he types into his phone something, and the English translation comes up, and he shows it to me, and it says, "I want to take you to my secret place on the boat." I'm like, "Oh, huh? So you want to murder me? So you want to actually, you want to kill me? What the fuck do you mean, sir?" Naturally, I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm going to stay here. I'm good though. Thank you. I don't even remember exactly the whole thing, but he put that on his phone. He was kind of trying to like persuade me to go to his secret place. Like, what? That is the most sketch thing. I don't know if that's what he meant when he typed what he said into his side of Google Translate, but that's what it came up and said in English. So I was like, that's very creepy. After I was like, no, he then typed something else on Google Translate. He showed it to me, and it just said, come with me. Bestie. It's a no from me, dog. It's a fat no from me. So, of course, I was like, no. Like, you're crazy. Meanwhile, my friend Marguerite, who was sitting next to me, was filming all of this on her Snapchat because, I mean, it was kind of funny, albeit creepy. She got a clip of it, and he, when it, she put the camera onto him, like, put his hand in front of it, and she was, like, kind of joking, maybe kind of not, but said, why don't you want to be seen? Like, are you married or something? And this man, bro, this man turns his fucking hand around, and he has a ring on his ring finger. So this man is married to some poor woman. I feel really bad. Girl, you're not listening to this, but run. Men are fucking dogs. Oh, also, he asked us how old we were, and we said 24, and then he said he was 28, but he was a smooth 35, had to have been. Like, I don't believe for a second that he was 28. I think he just said that because we said we were 24. I'm not even 24. I'm 23. I'll be 24 in a month, but yeah, I rounded up. But yeah, I think he lied about that. He was giving very much 35 and, like, family and kids vibes. But yeah, he turned his hand around and had a wedding ring on his ring finger, and I was, like, disgusted, and I said, okay, go away at this point, like, I'm over you. And he wrote again on Google Translate and said, you are naughty. At this point, everyone was up. Some of us were sleeping on this ferry back. We were all awake at this point when he said that, and we were essentially, like, done with him, especially after he just said I was naughty. I'm like, okay, bye, like, goodbye. So we got him to leave. The rest of the time I was kind of on high alert, like, looking for this man. I did not want him to come back because he was fully creeping me out at that point. Like, at first it was funny, like, haha jokes, but everything that he had showed me on his phone was creepy. He was just scary looking at this point. I thought he was kind of cute at first, but then as soon as he opened his mouth or Google Translate, I was like, no, that's so gross to me. Anyway, that happened, which was definitely interesting. And then we got back to the Airbnb, went to bed, woke up, and it's the next day, another travel day. Not as much of a travel day because we didn't have to fly anywhere this time. We just were driving. But March 24th, we were leaving Naples and going to our Airbnb in Positano. We packed all our stuff up and we walked over to get some, like, food or coffees or something from this little, like, deli corner store. Would be called a bodega in New York, but definitely not called a bodega there. We ended up getting cappuccinos and they were phenomenal. Like, easily the best cappuccino I've ever had. And it was from this little, like, corner store in Naples. I loved it. It was so good. So then we went back, checked out of our Airbnb, and we drove from Naples to Positano. We didn't drive. We had a driver guy. And this is how we met the driver guy. So, oh my God, how did I not even talk about our experience at the Naples airport? I don't know how I glossed over that. We got to Naples a couple of days before. When we were leaving the airport, the first thing we walk out to is, like, the Italian military. Just, like, a large group of men in military uniforms carrying assault rifles. Just outside of the doors of the Naples airport. So immediately, I'm like, what the fuck is happening? We walk over to where we thought we were supposed to get our ride. So we knew we had to taxi because Uber itself, like Uber X, whatever, wasn't a thing there. But you could book a taxi on the Uber app. And we wanted to do that just for safety reasons. Obviously, like, then it at least could be tracked and we could make sure that we are going where we need to go. And it's just more like a higher level of security, it felt like. So I definitely recommend doing that if you're in a place that you can book a taxi on Uber, but not like a regular Uber, just a taxi. I would do that just because, I don't know, it gave us an extra, like, peace of mind that we would get where we needed to go. It's safety is very important. You can never be too careful. We called a taxi on the Uber app. And we walked over to the taxi pickup area at the airport, which is where we thought we were supposed to get this taxi from. Turns out that's not actually where we're supposed to be picked up from, but we figured that out after we walked over there. And there were a bunch of men who were like taxi drivers and were trying to get people to like get in taxis, obviously. But at first we were kind of just all chilling there. But then as it became like 5 minutes of us waiting for our taxi that we called and like looking around, kind of looking like lost and like we didn't know what we were doing, these taxi guys started to catch on and they came over to us and they just kept asking like, taxi, taxi, taxi. And we were like, we have one, we're good. But they kept getting closer and closer and like honestly breathing down our necks. And it was kind of scary just having a bunch of like big men surrounding you and like getting closer and closer. So we walked away from that. And as we're walking away, like they're following us, like they're still breathing down our necks. We ended up getting back to where we walked out of the airport, like where the army was. And we discovered that that's where we were supposed to pick up our taxi that we called through Uber. So he ended up pulling up and he had like a big, it was like a Sprinter van type of vibe. And at first he didn't think we were going to all be able to fit with all of our luggage. And then after some Tetris, we were able to all fit and he drove us to our Airbnb. That was a really long-winded way of saying that's who drove us from Naples to Positano. Landon contacted him the night before, arranged a pickup time. He picked us up and drove us to Positano. Checked into this beautiful Airbnb. The view was just insane. Put our stuff down. We went to a little cafe. I believe it was called Elisir de Positano. We ended up passing it every day. But we stopped in there for some sandwiches and they had really good smoothies, like fresh smoothies. They had coffee, they had gelato. It was literally a cafe, but it was really good. So we got some sandwiches because we hadn't really eaten. I got a smoothie too. It was all very refreshing and exactly what I needed. The rest of the day before dinner, we just walked around the little town. We walked the main stretch, bopped into a bunch of little stores. This one store called CB Positano was a hit for all of us. We loved that place. They had bags and stuff. I don't know how to explain it. It was kind of like Vera Bradley, but the Italian cooler version. It was giving that mixed with Anthropology, mixed with Love Shack Fancy is really the best way I can describe it. Oh, we had a heyday in there. They also had beautiful dresses. So all of us got at least one dress there. Love a small business. Love an Italian made, you know, product. So I really went crazy there. And I got a bunch of stuff. I got some souvenirs too there and some things I wanted to bring back for like my parents. It was just so much fun. And the people working there were so nice. I loved it. 100%. If you're in Positano, you have to go to CB. We went to dinner by the beach that night at Shea Black. Bro, my meal there was mid. I won't lie, it was mid. But the experience was not mid. The experience was for the friggin' books at that place. So I got like a pesto spaghetti. And the spaghetti itself, like I love an al dente pasta. Do not get me wrong. I prefer al dente, but this was almost crunchy. Like it was just not, I don't know. It just wasn't good. Other people got things that they really enjoyed. So maybe I just should have gotten something else. Like not saying that the whole restaurant is like throw away the whole place, but maybe don't get that. Even the flavor of it, like it really wasn't doing it for me, but we got like appetizers and stuff too. And a lot of bread, so I was fine. The real experience here was our friend Marguerite. She, I guess, ended up catching the eye of one of the waiters that we had, and he was kind of like flirting with her throughout dinner, but in like a fun, like playful way. It wasn't creepy like the guy on the boat. So eventually he brought her like a pizza in the shape of a heart, like just a free pizza in the shape of a heart. And we all were really leaning into it. Like, we were having fun with it. So that was kind of going on. She had caught the eye of the waiter. And then I guess he probably told the other waiters. And everyone was really, like, loving us. All the staff were loving us and really loving her. So eventually, we get up, me and her, to go to the bathroom. And we are in the bathroom. We leave the bathroom. And right next to the bathroom is the kitchen. We're literally walking out of the bathroom back to our seats, and the guys in the kitchen start calling out, like, Marguerite, Marguerite. Or was it, were they calling her Margarita? I think they were calling her Margarita. But they started, like, calling her name from the kitchen. And, like, were ushering us. They were like, come in, come in. To the kitchen. Bruh, we walk into this kitchen. I know this was a health hazard. I just know this whole thing was a health hazard. We go into the kitchen and they give us hats, like the chef hats to put on. I'm in disbelief. I couldn't believe we were in the kitchen. It was just us two. The rest of our group was still at the table. So I texted them and I said, look up. And I just watched as all of them looked up and turned and saw us, and their jaws dropped, and they ran over to us, and they also then were invited into the kitchen. There's like six of us just chilling in the kitchen. Eventually, funny enough, the staff in the kitchen ended up like kicking the guys out. There were two guys at this point landed, and we made a friend who we invited to dinner from England, but they got kicked out of the kitchen because they were like, this is for girls only. I ended up stepping out of the kitchen because it was kind of getting hot in there, but the rest of the three girls stayed. Anna's fully plating someone's food. Like, one of the chefs gives her, and they're like, okay, you plate this food. I know that was a health hazard. There is no way. If I was watching that from the outside and seeing some random girl plating my food and then having it brought to me, I'd be pissed. But it was hilarious in the moment. We also were all kind of drunk because we were having wine, we were having Aperols. I don't know if the limoncello shots entered the chat at that point yet. We ended up getting free shots from the staff because they liked us so much. So I ended up taking like 2.5 limoncello shots that were free that we just got for existing. It was an experience. It was one that I think we're probably going to talk about for forever because it was hilarious and honestly so fun. Our first night in Positano went that way. I don't even, like, how could we top that? I really need to pick this up. Day 4 in Italy, March 25th, we had a super nice lunch at this restaurant called Adamo ed Eva. It had the most insane view. We could not actually believe what we were seeing. It looked like a green screen. It was like higher up on the hill. So we had an amazing view of the coastline and the sea. We ended up getting oysters and caprese for our appetizers. And they were so good. As I said, we got the caprese pretty much every time that we ate anything for an appetizer because it was so good and we just could not get enough of it. It was amazing. Everything at this restaurant was so fresh. And this place was crazy expensive. I'm not even going to lie. You're paying for the good food, you're paying for the view. And I know that they just like pull in a lot of tourists because the view is insane. But honestly, I would do it again because it was such an amazing experience. Just being able to eat like fresh, and you could tell it was fresh, amazing food in Italy, looking at the Amalfi Coast. It was 10 out of 10. I had 3 oysters. They were freaking huge and they were $8 each, but they were so good, so fresh. They literally taste like they were caught 5 minutes ago. And then I ended up ordering this pasta, which the pasta itself, the noodles were fresh. It was like a seafood pasta. So it was the noodles and then it was this kind of like light, probably like a white wine sauce that they usually put in a pasta with seafood. And it had so many different types of freaking seafood. I couldn't even name them all because I don't even know what all of them were. There were mussels, there were clams, there was shrimp. There were so many other little things that I don't even know. But this pasta, I will be thinking about for the rest of my life. It was so freaking good. It was worth every penny. Everything was amazing. The seafood in it was so fresh. The pasta itself was fresh. It was perfect. It was so good. One of my favorite meals of the entire trip. As a whole, this meal was so good. The appetizers we got, even the bread was so good. I got an Aperol. Oh my gosh. Like this experience was so good. This lunch was definitely one of my favorite meals of the trip. I don't even remember exactly what we did in between that lunch and dinner. Probably just like walked around. I think we went back chilled for a little bit at our Airbnb because our view was just insane. Even just being there felt like a vacation. So I think we went back, we got cleaned up, changed, went out to dinner at this place called La Pergola. It was on the beach, kind of like in the same strip as the place we were at the night before, Shea Black. The one thing I will say about this place that we went, La Pergola, is that their calamari was insane. I don't know, the flavor, the breading, the little dipping thing they had for it, it was all just, it was insanely good. I don't even remember what I ate. I think I got like ravioli or something. It wasn't anything to write home about, but the calamari definitely was. So it was insane. We ended up getting two because the first one just wasn't enough. We annihilated it in under 2 minutes. The next day, day five, was our last full day in Italy. We had just like a slow morning. It was kind of cloudy that morning. We were planning on going to the beach by like 11. And mind you, the weather, it was like a solid high of 60 degrees, but it felt so warm in the sun that we felt confident going to the beach and like laying there in 60 degree weather if it was sunny, because it felt like it was 80. It was beautiful. Here in New York, if it was 63, it said the high 63, I would not be going out in a bikini. But there in the sun, it was perfect. So we were planning on going to the beach at like 11 a.m., but it was cloudy up until like 1, and we knew that in the clouds, if it wasn't sunny, we'd be cold. So we had a slow morning, just kind of hung around, which was really nice. I feel like I really needed that at that point because we'd been going for like almost a week at this point. Really not a lot of downtime, just trying to fit a lot into the days and being out and about. So having a slow morning was really nice. Then we ended up going to the beach. We stopped by the cafe that I mentioned and we picked up more sandwiches to eat on the beach, which was just such a freaking good idea. I got the same sandwich I got the first time, but I added mozzarella and it was so to die for, especially just eating it on the beach. Something about getting a nice little sandwich, lunch, maybe like a smoothie, a drink, and sitting on the beach and just enjoying it by the water is so perfect. And that's exactly what we did, and it was amazing. We laid on some beach chairs for hours. We listened to music, ate our sandwiches. We ordered drinks because they had like a little beach bar. You would think we were in like on like a tropical island. We ordered drinks. They were brought to us. I got like a piña colada. I thought I was in Mexico or something. I thought I was in the Caribbean, but it was so perfect. It was so perfect. So then after the beach, we went back to the Airbnb to like shower, all of that, get changed for dinner. We stopped at the cafe again. I got gelato. I got like a mint chocolate chip. It was amazing. It's exactly what I needed after laying in the sun. So refreshing, so freaking good. Got my post-beach shower, got ready. If you know, you know. A post-beach shower, getting ready and going out to dinner, when you're like kind of sunburnt, but like just had a really nice day in the sun, is so elite. Left for dinner pretty early because we wanted to take some like sunset pictures on the way, and that we did just that. We took sleigh pictures, walked to dinner, had our last supper, if you will, at this place called Il Fornello. I will say and admit to the people that this was the best cacio e pepe pasta I have ever tasted, and I don't think I will ever have better in my life unless I go back to this specific place. This pot, no, I have it. I have a clip of it that I will be including in my Italy vlog. I took a video of me like taking the first bite, and you can just see it in my eyes how good this pasta was. Everything was perfect. It just was so freaking good. I couldn't get enough of it. Sometimes with, specifically with that pasta, I will like get sick of it quickly and it's like you only eat a little bit, but this I was eating up. I couldn't have enough. The best thing I could have gotten for our last dinner in Italy. Then the next day, day six in Italy, it was going to be another travel day, but we had a flight booked for that night to go back to Paris. So we had the morning, afternoon to like do things. And we booked a cooking class for that day, which ended up being one of my favorite things that I did on the entire trip, if not my favorite. That and the day in Capri were both like up there, top two favorite things that we did. This cooking class, if y'all are ever in Positano or the Amalfi Coast in general or near this place, it's called La Tagliata. and it was 150 euro per person in cash. We had a great group of people in the class, so it wasn't just like the five of us. Obviously, there was other groups that all came together for our big group. It was just a great group of people. We had other friend groups, we had families, we had couples, and everyone was just so nice and fun and friendly, and they played really fun music. I felt like I was in the club, but I was at a family farm and restaurant on the Amalfi Coast in Italy, drinking wine, dancing, and cooking. So it's a family thing. They have had it in their family for decades, generations. They have like a garden, and we went into that at the beginning and we picked fresh produce for our food. They also have a literal like farm. They have a lot of animals, and they have like, they get their eggs and stuff. Came back, they started us with wine, which I love Italians. I love them. They filled up our wine glasses, and then they were like, when we go over to the table to cook, you have to bring your wine glasses. Very important. And I was like, okay, you don't have to twist my arm, I will be bringing it. But we started with wine, coffee. They had some like little appetizer snacks for us to eat at the beginning. Then we went over to the table where we're cooking, and we started making tiramisu. I understood quickly why they told us to bring our wine glasses over, because they would refill our wine glasses every so often throughout the class as they noticed people's glasses like being emptied. They would refill our wine glasses to the tune of Gasolina by Daddy Yankee. You knew it was time for your wine to be refilled when they would just start playing Gasolina out of nowhere. It was a fucking party in there. We made tiramisu at the beginning. We made some of the ingredients for the sauce, the red sauce for the gnocchi, and we made zucchini parm. So this was like a good 4 or 5 hour class. I think it was like started at around 10 a.m. and it ended at about 3:30 p.m. We sat down to eat it all when we were done, and it was so good. I think I fucked up my tiramisu, but the actual food, like the gnocchi and the sauce and the zucchini parm that we made, was really good. Unfortunately though, we kind of had to rush out of there because the bus was coming at, I think it was like 3:30. And so we were eating really fast and just trying to like, I kind of wish we had more time to sit and enjoy what we made, but we kind of were running out of there because the bus was coming at 3:30 and the next one wasn't coming for another hour. And we needed to get back to the Airbnb to get our stuff because they let us keep our stuff there while we went to the class, which was really nice. But we needed to check out, we needed to get our stuff, and we needed to go to the Naples airport for our flight. So we had to get on the 3:30 bus. So we ended up kind of like running out, but the experience was still a million out of 10, and I could not recommend this class enough. It was just so much freaking fun. The experience was so fun. The food was so good. Amazing. So let me back up just like a couple hours. In the middle of the class, we got an email that our train to Colmar for the last leg of the trip got canceled. I talked about this a little bit at the beginning, but because of the protests, we were supposed to take this train tomorrow. We were in the middle of the cooking class, like vibing, and then we get this email, and all of us immediately are like, what the hell are we gonna do? There were a lot of options at this point, but I ended up deciding I wanted to go home the next day because Anna already had a flight to go home. So I was like, I'll just join her. Then Marguerite came with us eventually. Landon and Autumn stayed a few more days just to have a little couple's trip, which, love that for them, they deserve that. That was after like hours of thinking about what we were gonna do. We came to those conclusions, but we did get that email in the middle of the class, which kind of made all of us like stop in our tracks, and we were like, okay, now what? Because we're fully going to the airport to go back to Paris right after this class. But yeah, I mean, it ended up working out. We flew back to Paris, we checked in to the Airbnb, we just went to bed. And then the next morning, we were supposed to take the train to Colmar, but instead, three of us were now going to be going to the airport and flying back to New York. So, major change of plans. I got the most amazing croissant of my entire freaking life. And I'm thinking about it for the rest. I will never stop thinking about it. The best butter croissant I probably could have ever eaten ever. It was at Patisserie de la Tour B. Auvergne. Auvergne. Long name. Fucked up the pronunciation, but oh my god, it was so good. the guy who was in there working was really sweet, and he ended up giving all of us a free little like snack pastry also, which was so nice. I got a butter croissant and I got a chocolate one. So I got two croissants and a bottle of water for €4. New York could absolutely never. We got back to the Airbnb, ate our food. The three of us Ubered to the airport. We went really early just so that we could get through everything and relax like way ahead of time. And I highly recommend doing that. We got there like really early, but we also had nothing more that we could do in Paris because we had to check out of the Airbnb and like might as well just go to the airport. We sat at Starbucks for like 2 hours. We drank our coffee and we ate some food and we all were sitting and doing some work on our laptops. Our plane ended up getting delayed by 30 minutes, but it really was not that deep. The flight was not bad. We had lucky girl syndrome, Anna and I, because we got random seats because we changed our flight to last minute. We weren't able to pick our own seats. So we got assigned seats when we checked in at the airport, and Anna and I were in the same row, but there was one seat in the middle of us. But lucky girl syndrome, because that seat in the middle of us was empty. No one sat there the whole flight, so we were able to like stretch out. It was so nice. We got back to New York. I was absolutely exhausted. Got home, I slept for 15 hours, and here we are. That is the full recap of my Europe trip. My throat hurts. I've been talking for so long. This trip was amazing, so much fun. Got to see amazing things, like so many new experiences, but I was ready to go home. I am a huge homebody, and as I said at the beginning, this trip really tested me in a lot of ways, and it was the biggest trip that I have been on in my life so far. So I don't know, when the message came that our train to Colmar was canceled, literally the only option in my mind was to just fly home. I mean, it was like 2 or 3 days early. I don't know. I was ready to go home. I felt like I had done and seen so many things and I had an amazing time, but I don't know. I got homesick. I'm a huge homebody, and being away from home for that long, especially like without my family, if I was on this trip and I was with my family, it might be different because my homesickness doesn't really happen when I'm with my family for some reason, but I don't know. It was just a lot in a good way, but also it was a lot. So that was really like my only thought when that came in, is just that like I'm just gonna go home with Anna because she's flying home this day anyway, and I'm just gonna join, and that's what it's gonna be, and that's what I ended up doing. I'm obviously extremely thankful and grateful and happy that I got to go on this trip, and it was such an amazing experience, and it's just made me want to go back to Europe so much. Like, I have so much more I want to do there and so much more I want to explore, even in just France and Italy. I only got to see a little sliver of those places, and I want to see more. But that's really that. That was the full trip breakdown. Lastly, I want to go over some of the things that I learned on this trip. I really only have one thing written down, and I'm kind of hoping that I just bounce off of that and think of other things. But the main takeaway that I had on this trip is the importance of patience and faith that everything will just be fine. I am by nature a very impatient person with everything and everyone. And it's not good. I know that patience is a virtue. It's just one that I do not have. And I need to have it because not having patience is not a good thing. And I know that. I'm self-aware. But I really learned on this trip the importance of having patience with other people, because when you put 5 people together on a trip, and really all of us have like different personalities, you have to learn to navigate that and to facilitate a good, like a positive environment for all of you, and just compromise and things like that. And a lot of patience goes into that, and really picking your battles and just kind of letting things be. It's something I am not great at, but I honestly think that during this trip, I learned how important those things really are. And that is a takeaway that I will be implementing into my life every day for the rest of my life, because it's so important having patience with other people and also having patience with just the situation or like what's going on and what you're doing. You don't have to have everything completely sorted and like know exactly what you're doing and have, I don't know, you can just be chill and patient with something and wait for it to work out. Same with people, you can just be patient with them and things will be fine. Like, it's gonna be okay. But practicing patience in all aspects is something that I really took away from this. And I'm really happy that I did. And I'm happy that I was in this situation and having like different things come up as they did, because it just all taught me that I need to be better at this. And I wasn't very good at it. But I do honestly think that after this experience, I will have gained a new perspective on this. And I have gained a new perspective on this. And I will be able to implement that and just consciously practice patience in my life. And also faith that everything will just be fine. Things are going to work out either way. It's okay if something doesn't go exactly how you want it to, because there's always another option and there's always a backup, that and it will be fine either way. I think that my first real experience on this trip with this, and just where I felt complete peace with how like things would turn out, is we were trying to get to the port of Naples when we were going to Capri, and we were trying to get like a taxi, and we were doing it on the Uber app because, like I said, we wanted to just do that for an added level of safety. And it was just us three girls, so we didn't have Landon. I think that if we had Landon, we probably would have felt a bit more comfortable just taking a regular taxi, but Landon and Autumn had to stay behind while we went. And so it was just three of us girls, but it was taking a really long time to find a taxi on the Uber app, and we ended up like waiting way longer than we thought we were going to. So we were really cutting it close on getting to the port and like getting our tickets or whatever. We already had the tickets, but we had to get them printed out, like checked in, and getting on the boat. We were supposed to get there, it said 30 minutes before it was supposed to leave. And after we got in the Uber, finally we got an Uber or taxi, and we got in, it was telling us that we were going to get there like 10 minutes or so before the boat was supposed to leave. And we were supposed to be there 30 minutes early. So we didn't know if they were going to let us on or not. But in this moment, I felt complete peace with either outcome. Like, either we get there and they let us on and we continue as planned, or we get there, they don't let us on, we find somewhere near the in the area to sit down and like get a coffee or get some food because we hadn't eaten yet. I don't know. In my mind, I was so calm in a situation where I would usually be very high strung. Like, if we're gonna miss something, I don't like that. That really stresses me out. But for some reason in this scenario, I just felt peace with either outcome. Like, either we make it and we get on the boat, or we don't, we get on the next one and we figure something else out in the meantime. We remained calm. We got there just in time. We checked in, we went over, and we got on the boat, and we like got on the one we were supposed to be on, thankfully. So we were able to continue with our day as planned, and it worked out. But even if they would have told us to like go fuck ourselves and to get on the next one, it still would have been fine, because we're in Italy. It's going to be fine. I remember looking at the girls and I was like, if I am not stressed out right now, nobody should be, because I'm usually the one that's like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, we're going to blah, blah, blah. But my mind was just completely at ease and at peace. That was just such a nicer experience than the alternative and what I would usually do, which is to like freak out. I learned in that situation, in that moment, that as long as I have faith that everything will just be fine, I don't have to have all of that stress and like all that worry. I can just breathe and know that either way, we're going to figure it out. I'm going to figure it out. And everything will be fine. Because I always figure it out. Take away the group setting part and it's just me, myself. Even if something doesn't go the way that I wanted it to or the way it was supposed to, I figure it out. I've always done that. Everything has always gotten figured out because I'm here right now. Everything that I thought that I wouldn't be able to figure out or I thought it was the end of the world kept spinning and I'm here because I figured it out. Every single time I have gotten to a crossroads like that, I have figured it out. So why would I continue to freak out when I have so much evidence that I am fully capable of figuring something out because I've done it every single time? That's what I need to remember in times of like a little bit of stress or worry about, is this plan A gonna work? If it doesn't, what are we gonna do? I need to remember that I am fully capable of figuring it out, and I will. So there's no need to freak. There's no need. And I also need to trust that if something that I was like supposed to do or thought I was supposed to do or have doesn't end up panning out, or something falls through, or what we miss something, I need to just remind myself that there is a reason that this is happening. I wasn't supposed to have plan A. Plan A wasn't for me. I thought it was for me, but it wasn't. So whatever ends up happening and whatever I end up figuring out, if it does work out, that's what was supposed to work out for me, not plan A. It might have been my plan A, but it wasn't God's plan A. It wasn't the universe's plan A. My plan B was their plan A. And I have to trust that. I feel like those are really the two main big things that I learned and took away from this trip. Among other things, like just being with a group of people that aren't your family, that you have to like navigate situations with, especially like stressful situations. Everyone handles things differently. Everyone reacts differently. People have different personalities, and just learning how to kind of work with that and compromise with that, especially when everyone's in a high stress situation, is I think a really valuable lesson to take away in life, and just be able to work through things like that is really important, because obviously not everything is going to be sunshine and rainbows all the time. And then when you come to a point of like conflict, or you have some sort of an impasse, knowing how to navigate that and compromise with other people and work through it, even if everyone has like different coping mechanisms or different personalities, is a very, very, very valuable thing to be able to do. So I feel like I had experience with that in such a unique way for the first time. So that was really, really important and beneficial for me as a person to just learn those things and use them to grow. I also learned that jet lag is a real thing, and I experienced like full jet lag for the first time, which was definitely interesting, but at least now, again, I know what that feels like and kind of how to work with it. So I have that new like tool in my belt, which is good. I feel like I could probably sit here and think of a bunch of other things, but the first three things that I said really were like the big takeaways that I feel like will impact my life genuinely going forward. And then the jet lag thing is like, I mean, when I will go back to Europe. So now I at least know how I felt the last time, and I can kind of figure out how I'm going to feel. I can anticipate that now. It's good to experience things so that when you do them again, you know what you're getting into. It's not a surprise, and you can learn how to work with it. I think that's it. I really am trying to think that, girl, what haven't I covered? This has been the longest episode I've ever recorded. I don't know what I'm going to do in editing, if I'm going to cut it down too much, but as I'm looking right now, I've been recording, like the raw recording is 2 hours and 4 minutes at this point. So I really don't want to put out a 2-hour podcast because people are going to be like, what the fuck? That's longer than most movies. I am sorry if this was like way too long, but I wanted to do a full recap, deep dive of this trip. And I hope you enjoyed hanging out with me for the last however long this ends up being, which either way is probably going to be a long time. Thank you. If you're still listening at this point, thank you so much for sticking around, hanging out with me, hearing me out. I really freaking appreciate you. I am going to go and not talk for the rest of the day because my throat is actually starting to hurt because I've talked so much. I'm going to go make another coffee. That's going to be it for today's episode of Digital Diary. This was really my digital diary of my trip, like one big diary entry. And that's the whole point of this podcast for me. So I hope you enjoyed. I hope if you are thinking of going to these places that I gave you some useful information. And if not, hopefully it was just like entertaining. I don't know. But I love y'all so much. I will talk to you guys next week with a brand new episode. And I hope y'all have an amazing rest of your day and rest of your week. Bye.